murder which is sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
The world ended. Didn't you get the memo?
They're dead. And you're gonna be next.
Wake up. Time to die.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon. And stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we get back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
You never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
My own brother, a goddamn shit-up ambassador. Will you wait till Mom finds out, buddy?
Detail, I guess I forgot to mention. You die, you lose.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn doing a solo mission today, and this is not as easy as it sounds. And right now I'd like to discuss why horror movies are good for you. Believe it or not, they are. This is from MoviePilot.com. They are good for your health. It has been noted that watching a horror movie can have amazing effects on the human body. The watching of these images on a screen can spike your blood pressure, tense up those muscles, and get your heart racing. The same effect as exercising. In fact, watching a horror movie has been proven to burn calories, with a movie like The Shining burning just under 200 calories, making a horror movie marathon more like the real deal. But I don't think that's entirely true, because I watch horror movies every day, and I haven't lost an ounce, so I don't know. I mean, it does race the heart rate, that's true. It does tighten your muscles when you're looking at those really squeamish situations, like somebody getting spiked in the back. I mean, yeah. But I don't know. Losing weight? It hasn't happened for me. They're good for your mental well-being. Horror movies give a feeling of catharsis, basically meaning we're able to release strong emotions, allowing relief to wash over us. We know when the movie is over, we will be safe, and all our limbs and arteries intact. Another reassuring aspect of horror movies is their predictable nature. We know that the girl will survive at the end, the two teenage lovers will die, and the harmony of the universe will be restored by the time the credits roll. Now, not always is the horror movie predictable, because it doesn't always end on a high note. I watched It Follows, and that ended on kind of an ominous, always looking over your shoulder kind of feel. It did not have a happy ending. Another example of unpredictable ending is The Cabin in the Woods. Now, that didn't have a happy ending either, because thanks to a stupid stoner, he ended the world. So, that right there is not true. But it does, horror movies can be good for releasing emotions. For if you're really pissed off at somebody and you feel that somebody in a horror movie is properly getting killed or justifiably being killed, then you feel a little better imagining that person that you are upset at getting what they deserve. So, yes, I agree. We need the release. If we have a relatively calm, uneventful lifestyle, we seek out something that's going to be exciting for us because our nervous system requires periodic revving. Just like a good muscular car, our bodies need the stimulus. So horror movies are good for stimulus, very much so. Because you're always sitting on the edge of your seat. You're always, well, I mean, a real good scary movie that keeps you in suspense. It makes you sit on the edge of your seat. You are freaking out silently. Oh, yeah. It's good for enjoying yourself. Horror movies are a great way to escape the monotony of existence and experience something, hopefully, but never will in real life. Also, they're a great way to take our mind off our problems and put things into perspective when watching the poor girl being stalked and killed. Plus, it's a great excuse to snuggle up to your date. Yeah. I'd say that's why I like to go watch horror movies, because in the movies, those people have it worse because they end up dying. Or mutilated in some horrible way. And that makes my life seem not so bad. And finally, because Stephen King says so. The mythic horror movie, like The Sick Joke, has a dirty job to do. It deliberately appeals to all that is the worst in us. It is morbidly unchained. Our most base instincts let free, our nastiest fantasies realized. And it all happens, fittingly enough, in the dark. For those reasons, good liberals often shy away from horror films. For myself, Stephen King quoting here, I like to see the most aggressive of them, Dawn of the Dead, for instance, as lifting a trapdoor in the civilized forebrain and throwing a basket of raw meat to the hungry alligators swimming around in that subterranean river beneath. Why bother? Because it keeps them from getting out, man. It keeps them down there and me up here. I agree. We are sick people. Horror movies, well, now, because there's not so much censorship on the content, and the stories can be more horrific. You can show more horrible things because the ratings are a little more lenient on some of those horror movies. I mean, you can't go out being out and out snuff film. I mean, yeah, that's not cool. But in general, horror movies are good for you. And it is a good date movie, especially if it's one where the girl or guy jump into your arms. And now, how about some music?
This is EFCT Radio.
We'll be right back.
And we started off with Lucan Wolf, Under the Black Moon, followed by Calabrese, Serpent Flame, and Sex, Perfect Imperfections. And MJ and I did take a moment to interview a very interesting author. He seemed really cool. His name is Dino Sands, And this is how it went.
This is EMZT Radio's celebrity interview. We have Dino Sands, urban author of supernatural horror suspense thrillers, and we found him on Amazon. Hello, Dino.
Hey, hello, everyone. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good.
Good afternoon, Dino. Go ahead, Bane.
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Hey. For those of you who don't know, I started talking to Dino on Twitter, and then was very interested in his books, especially because I'm one of those, since I'm from the South, I love Southern horror, and you've got two, as a matter of fact. I believe it's in the Miss Merryweather series. I believe that's what you're calling it. A Southern Nightmare. Tell everybody about that real quick.
Well, the first book, Miss Merryweather, Southern Nightmare, is the one that sparked my career. And that was in 2001, I believe. And the sequel, Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, was released in 2013. So that's the end of Miss Merryweather. But, you know, Miss Merryweather started from a dream when I was a young man in the South. So I wanted to put that on paper. And I wanted to make sure, you know, you have your Freddy Kruegers, your Michael Myers, and your Jasons. I was trying to create a character that was a female character of the same sort of the male characters, far as in horror. So I created Miss Merryweather.
And what does she do?
She does exactly what the other three men does, but she just happens to be one of the most beautiful, exquisite women in the South. But she happens to be evil. Her soul was a woman of that beauty was possessed by the spirit and the evil spirit of Miss Merryweather. So this woman is beautiful, but her evil, it's uncontrollable, and she attacks the bloodline. As my heritage, I'm actually Cherokee and Ethiopian, and I wanted the medicine man on the Indian plantation is the one that cursed Miss Merryweather to hell, but she didn't stay there. So to conquer the bloodline, Miss Merryweather came back into another woman whose name was Miss Merryweather. She was actually an evil spirit that came back into Miss Merryweather.
Wow. So this character, so is she like feeding on a bloodline to stay alive, or is this all a revenge type of thing?
It's actually a revenge. Like I said, it stems back from centuries ago when the Cherokee medicine man, spiritual man, defeated her and cast her to hell and locked her in hell. She was able to free herself, but she had to come back into a form. So she used the woman in the South named Miss Merryweather, who was the most exquisite woman in the South, to rain the terror back on the bloodline.
Oh, wow. That sounds creepy in itself. Ooh.
Oh, yes. It's very scary. It's written in the Southern dialect, you know, in all the dreams and everything comes about with Miss Merryweather. And then in Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, that's the return of Miss Merryweather, because in the first novel, you think Miss Merryweather is dead, but the protagonist has some children. So Miss Merryweather is not dead, so she tries to completely obliterate the bloodline. So he has two sons, so she comes back because she's not done.
Ah, so how many books are in this series? I'm sorry, I haven't read them, but I'm sounding fascinated right now.
It's actually only two, and that's the end of Miss Merryweather. You know, the first one, Miss Merryweather, Southern Nightmare, and the sequel, Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, The Return of Miss Merryweather.
Oh, okay, only two. Are you going to do another Southern-type series?
Not with Miss Merryweather, I don't believe. I'm actually, after these two novels I'm releasing, I think I'm going to write the screenplay for Miss Merryweather, my first book.
Ooh, what would you name the movie, Miss Merryweather, or would you find something scarier to hook people?
I'm not sure. I haven't thought that far, but you know, Miss Merryweather is a little, you know, is pretty, you know, pretty groovy. But I may change it up. But I'm going to write a screenplay for Miss Merryweather.
Oh, it sounds great. Are you going to do like a crowdfunding or a fan-backed page, or are you going to try to have investors to make this movie?
Well, I'm going to touch every aspect of every financial, you know, basis to try to get someone to come in on it, on Miss Merryweather. But, you know, that'll be down the road once I finish the manuscript, the screenplay. And then once I have that in place, then I'll be looking for the Kickstart and things like of that sort.
Oh, have you played around with just imagining who would be the cast?
No, I really have not. And I really have not, you know, because I've, you know, I've been, you know, just writing these novels and pushing them out. But I don't even want to say I have anyone in mind, but I have a lot of friends all around the world, you know, female and male, that would be, you know, a great fit for, you know, this type of horror movie.
Now, would your...
It sounds like...
Oh, I'm sorry, Vane.
No, go ahead.
Would your film company, I noticed you're a co-owner of Six Shorties, would they be the one that would end up making it and possibly releasing the film?
Right, right. And what I tell people, you know, that my production company is in its infinite stage, so I haven't really put any really work into it because I'm trying to push out my novels. Like I said, when I finish right. these two, two projects I'm working on, then I'm going to try to put more time into my production company. And yes, Ms. Merriweather will be through my production company, yes.
All right.
Oh, that'll be good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, speaking of which, you just released, I believe, a new book, Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and maybe get a couple extra readers here?
Well, you know, Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil, I've always been fascinated with the dime novels and penny dreadfuls of the 19th century. So I wanted to create something, you know, with the cover, a basic blank cover. And this Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil is actually what the title states, is a dialogue. And it took me a little while to create something that is just strictly dialogue to bring the readers into it to make them, to scare themselves. And versus me using... to put themselves in this dialogue and scare themselves. So Seven Dreams came about. It's about the son of Satan writing a book after his mother passed, which a lot of people don't deal in, you know, thinking we think, you know, heaven and God and Jesus and things of that sort. So I wanted to bring something about Satan having a son and a wife, and actually his mother dies and he mourns her and he writes a book, and the book of Dead Dreams. And it comes about, you know, how archaeologists find things, and it was found. And if you touch this book, you will have seven dreams. Not dreams as a nightmare, as dreams as you're walking around. Reality becomes death. Reality becomes death, you know, and dead people, or evil, everything, and then you'll pop out of it. And I wrote that this particular guy one day was at a cemetery cursing God about taking his wife too soon. And a man in a woodland comes, you know, comes about. But this man is dressed in a hospital mental robe with a coat and looking shabby and like he's been out in the woods for, you know, 2 or 3 months. So he sits down and talks to this man. And actually, I'm going to jump to the end. Actually, the man, the dialogue is he's actually talking to himself. The man is him because he's the one touched the Book of Dead Dreams. So the one that he's... The one in the grave is not his wife, is actually him.
Oh.
So the whole book is strictly dialogue from what happened to this one particular man who's cursing God. He's the one that touched the book, and he's the one having seven dreams, and he's the one that went insane, and his wife left him. His wife never died. His wife left him, and he died. So at the end, he realizes the man he's talking to is actually him. So,
what a twist.
It's a wonderful twist, and it's strictly dialogue. It has some form of vision and description and location, but it's basically dialogue at a cemetery, sitting at a grave that he thinks is his wife, but it's not his wife. And the antagonist, which is him in a sense, that he walks up to talk to him, is actually evil. And he asks, why did he curse God and things like that? He should have never done that, because now me and you are the same people. And he doesn't realize that until the end, when he looks at his the gravestone and sees his name on it versus his wife. And then the other guy he was talking to disappears. So he's actually talking to himself. So he's actually in the ground.
Wow.
Go ahead,
so that's the basis of Seven Dreams, you know, Dialogue with Evil.
I'm just sitting there in shock. This is amazing. I want to read this now.
19th century dime novels, penny dreadfuls, you know, the British forms of writing, you know, basic to...
And you're a man after my own heart. I love those types of books, you know, the pulp fictions and the old, like you said, the old dime store novels are absolutely awesome.
Yes, they are. I grew up on them.
As did I. And you got anything else, Bane?
Now, I was just noticing that a lot of this writing is, it sounds like a bit of Stephen King, Dean Koontz, Clive Barker, the really reality-twisting type tales. Is that where you got some inspiration?
Well, what I call, I grew up with, what I call, what I have is I call it the VIC. And the VIC is an acronym for visualization, imagination, and creativity. I'm trying to get to that pinnacle from, you know, to the pinnacle of the ones you just listed. That's what I'm trying to write. I'm trying to entertain. I'm trying to invoke fear and things like of that sort, like these writers you just, those writers you just mentioned. I'm trying to get to their status, and they are a great influence. When someone wants to be like those people that you named, it's a great honor that I'm trying to get to that place, and I want to get to that place, and I want to be in that list of names when you interview someone else, and you mention those names, you mention mine. So that's why I write and create these different novels in these different situations.
So how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing since 2001. My first novel, Miss Meriwether, A Southern Nightmare. I was writing since when I was a young kid, you know, but I didn't know that was going to be my talent when I became an adult. But about 10 or more years, I've been pushing out novels and short stories and screenplays and poetry. I just write anything, but, you know, horror is my passion. I love horror.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody needs to be scared.
There's nothing wrong with being scared, and I try to make sure that, you know, I call it the unreality. I mean, reality is scary in its own, you know, own mind. Reality of every day is scary, regardless when you watch the news or anything. That's scary. But I try to write the unreality. If you can take what happens in reality and switch it to unreality and still make it scary, it takes a talent for that.
Yeah, because you're taking something that you sort of can control and make it uncontrollable. That's even scarier that you have no control on your life when you twist it like that.
Exactly. I mean, when you look on the news and you see things happen with people with weapons, and that's a scary situation. But I don't, you know, that's not horror to me. I mean, when you bring in demons and ghosts and things that you cannot defeat, or cannot be defeated, then that becomes horror.
Right. Is there another novel that you're working on besides the screenplay you're going to be working on?
Right. June, I'm releasing my next horror novel. It's called Whorehouse on Pinkman Creek. And after that, I think it'll be my next novel will be released in September, The Casting of Shadows.
Ooh. Can you give us a taste of what those are about?
Well, The Whorehouse on Penguin Creek, it just came to me. Actually, one of my friends one day, I was sitting in the backyard, and he had a T-shirt on from Las Vegas or whatever. It was just a T-shirt and said Whorehouse. So I said, that's a nice story. That's a nice headline for a novel of mine. And then I was driving down the expressway. I think I was driving to, I forget where I was driving to, and I saw an exit say Penguin, I mean a sign for a creek said Penguin Creek. So I put two and two together. I said, well, I should make a novel out of Whorehouse, you know, and name it Whorehouse on Penguin Creek. So Whorehouse on Penguin Creek is, I'm not going to give you the everything, but the basis is four gentlemen, our friends, going back to traveling to Texas, going to a college reunion, and they're very spry. They see this sign that says Whorehouse on Penguin Creek, and they decide to stop for a little activity before they venture on to have more activity at their class reunion. And what I tell in the synopsis, it said, you know, every sign is not a good sign, and every good thing is not a good thing when you stop on Penguin Creek. So it's a great story. It has a great twist in it. And it's not all about sex, and it has sex in it, but it's not about sex. It's strictly horror. But it takes you to a point that watch what exit you get off of when you try to get excited about something that's going to excite you. And everything that excites you is not a good thing.
Oh, wow. So, are you doing any book tours or anything like that for any of your books?
Well, actually, I'm going to be in New Jersey on Indie Lounge TV in I think, May 23rd. And I'm going to be at the Cultural Coffee Shop on April 13th. I'll be doing, I'll be a featured poet. Like I said before, I do poetry too. And I think I'm going to be going to SlasherCon in PA in June. Ooh. And I'm doing some other things in between that time. I have a list of things. I'm not going to run them off. I've been doing a list of things on that. I was on the Steve Harvey show twice.
Oh, yeah.
On the 100 Man segment twice in Chicago on the Steve Harvey show. So I have a lot of other things going on this year. And when I'm not, I'm going to be writing my books. The Casting of Shadows, like I said, I think I may release that in September. And that's going to be a little twist, too. It's going to be horror, supernatural, and sci-fi all embellished. I mean, all entangled together.
Oh.
So it's just everything I'm trying to do at one time. I'm just steady writing and steady promoting and trying to get to that pinnacle. The other authors you mentioned, I'm trying to get to where they are.
But you'll be Dino Sands.
I am Dino Sands. There's only one of me. I am Dino Sands.
That's right. Anything you're adding, Matt?
I noticed that you work in the educational field as well. Is there anything any type of interesting projects going on there?
Oh no, not at all. I have. I'm still working in the educational field. I relocated from Chicago. Now I'm in Ohio. Who's Cleveland, Ohio, which is showing me Cleveland, Ohio has showed Dino Sands so much support and love. I can't even talk about. But I'm in education, but I have I wrote a short story, Awaken, some time ago that's being taught in the Florida school district system. And they have told me has reached over 1,000+ children. So I'm honored. I'm honored that they're teaching my short story, Awaken. It's titled Awaken. It's just a short story I wrote in about 30 minutes. And it's very intriguing, and it's based with, you know, getting children from being in gangs and that sort of thing. So they tell me that, like I said, it's being taught in the Florida school district system, rather. And it has reached over 1,000 kids, and I've been able to change 1,000 kids' lives with my short story. So I'm very honored in that.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, matter of fact, I come from a family full of educators, so I know exactly what you mean. And that's, you know, it is literally the most thankless job in the world is being in the education system. So definitely want to thank you for that. And obviously, thank you for your service, too, to this country. I noticed that you were an Army veteran, so that needs to go without saying.
Yes, I mean, I have a lot of experience being a veteran. I have a lot of stories. I mean, it may come out in a few books later on, but I have a lot of stories, that's for sure.
Awesome.
Anything else, Matt?
No, I think that'll do it.
Yeah, is there anything that you wanted to promote while you're here, Dino?
Well, I'm going to promote my my new release that releases in June, Whorehouse on Penguin Creek. I'm available. I can be found on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinster, IG. My WordPress is dinosands.wordpress.com. My website is dinosands.dsanders.wick.com. I'm available anywhere. That's anywhere. Just type Dino Sands in. I'm everywhere. And like I said, I'm going to be on Indie Lounge TV May 23rd in New Jersey. It'll be telecast all over New Jersey. I want to make a shout out to you guys and all my other fans that have supported me all through these years in my writing and things of that sort. And that's about it.
And you also can be found on Amazon. I'm looking over your list of some of your books you've done. I just downloaded Seven Dreams. I can't wait to read that one.
Oh, I'm trying to tell you, it will scare you. It's an honor to be on your show. I have no words. It's an honor.
Oh no, thank you. And we will be adding as many links as we can onto our podcast page so everyone can be able to reach you.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds great. Wonderful.
Anything else, Matt, you'd like to say?
I think we're good.
Okay, Matt. All right, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dino. We'll have you on again after your next books come out.
Oh, yes. I'll be glad to be on the show again.
Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
invisible wall. Follow around the edge to an opening. Feel my way inside this nameless structure. Endless corridors lead me on. Inside a labyrinth of distant planet Venus, followed by the eyes of those who suffered for your greed.
From Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, While You're Drowning, their Drowning at Night remix, and Operation Illusion, Within the Walls. Just wanted to do a quick shout out to all those Indiegogo fundraiser campaigns still going on. The Horror Honeys didn't meet their goal, unfortunately, and I tried several times, but they got a small chunk, and maybe they'll start again. Their campaign ended April 3rd. We still have Con Man. They have only a couple days left. They are way overfunded, but this is still a fun project to get in on. Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, they are only down to $140 they need to meet their goal, and they only have like 40 hours left. So please give to that. Make this album happen. It is going to be incredible. The Kings of Con, which is the Richard Spate and Rob Benedict Indiegogo. They're doing something similar to Gone Man, but different. Please go check that out. These guys are hilarious. And I hope MJ is proud of me doing my solo mission. I'd like to thank Dino Sands for interviewing with us. I have started on his Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil, and so far it is creepy. Maybe I'll talk to him about it. And do stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And let me give you some advice. When you leave a man for dead, make sure he's dead. really dead.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rum!
Is she back home? I don't love her. I'm a freak. But here, among the monsters, I'm normal. I like it here. I want to stay.
Oh, great, Valiant. Not only will we be able to get to sleep, but if we're attacked in the middle of the night, we won't even care.